Yeah.
Check it out.
See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head. Boy, it's September 6th, and it's episode 147, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. You can follow us on Facebook and facebook.com/fantasyfootballauctioneer, or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Fantasy Auction. Got a good show for you tonight. Tonight we're going to break down another auction, auction that Blister just did. I think it was last night. And just an attempt to try to get you ready for those last minute drafts you might be doing this week and, getting things rolling because football starts on Thursday. I'd say, of course, I'm just going to say, but of course we only have one guy here and then we'll say it, we'll be a little bit more exuberant when both guys are here. But anyways, just going to be two of us tonight. Blister's here. He's only got two drafts left to go. Blister, how you doing tonight?
Great, man. Yeah, actually, at the time that this script was written, I thought I had two drafts left, but I realized I forgot. I've been drafting a buddy's team, lives out in BC, and that's tomorrow night as well. So and he's won it 3 of the 4 years that I've drafted it. So he wants me to draft his team again. So that is tomorrow night at the same time as the big Canadian football writers. Canadian fantasy football writers. So two online tomorrow night. So, and then we got the big couples, draft Thursday night. Try to get the wives into this a little bit. It can't hurt.
I didn't know if that's crossing the line or not. You know what I mean? Like, is that bringing them too close into the world or is it let us watch just a little bit more football?
I think it's not a bad move. They either won't be any more interested in it than they are now, which doesn't hurt, or they have a little bit of interest, and then all of a sudden they don't look at us kind of strange when we're, you know, putting so much time and effort into it. I actually got my wife to do a mock draft yesterday.
Get out of here. Yep.
She did well, too. She actually drafted from the one slot, too, and I think that might be where she's drafting from. So her team, I wasn't helping her. I just wanted her to be familiar with the software, and I wanted her to realize like how to find players on the draft site and the positions she had to fill. And she did pretty good. She did pretty good. I was impressed. Like I didn't tell her that is not happening
at this house.
No way.
No. She still's not sure. Well. That's why I tweeted that the other day. That is honest to God Hayden's cheat sheet he wrote up for her for last night or for last week. Literally what he. So I apologize, Slim, for the Tedkin Jr., but he does play a lot of Madden, so.
Well, that's good. I mean, it took, when we did the mock setup, like our league, it took only like 30 minutes, 35 minutes. So I don't know if the draft will go that fast, but it probably won't take too long.
But you know what? Like, why not just get her on Fantasy Football Calculator or something? I know it doesn't teach her the software, but at least you see what it looks like super fast, right? In about five minutes, you can get that rolling.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get this thing rolling because we're trying to be short and sweet tonight. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. So like I said, we got a good show tonight. We're going to just do a quick little recap of Blister's latest auction. You through some fantasy football news, buy or sell, and just I guess touch up and sand off any little rough edges you might have heading into your last few days of the off season before football does begin. So without further ado, let's get into the first segment. This one's called Fantasy Football Auction News, Buy or Sell. All right, so buy or sell, we take a look at some news items, and our analysts take a look at the fantasy implications of said news item. First one here, Blister, Cowboys beat running back Lance Dunbar. Could be the X factor. So this is according to ESPN. we're wondering about how much of an X factor Lance Dunbar will be against the Giants. He's made a tremendous recovery from the torn anterior cruciate and the torn patellar ligament suffered in week 4 of last season and should be ready to roll week 1. Dunbar did not play in the preseason, but he's been back to practice for the last 2 weeks. Lester, buy or sell, Dunbar could be a serviceable flex in PPR leagues.
I'll buy that. You know, last year we talked about Lance Dunbar. I really kind of had him hyped up, and he was doing fairly well before he got injured. And, you know, he's been a kind of forgotten name this offseason, this draft season. And funny, his name's starting to come up now because it was probably about a week and a half or so, 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a fellow on Twitter, Nick. Shout out to Nick Pagliari. And he brought up Lance, and I kind of said, yeah, you know, it's kind of been going under the radar. And you know, they're going to give Zeke, no doubt, a lot of touches, but he can't get 60 carries or 60 touches a game. They're going to have to give somebody else something, so it would make perfectly good sense to spell him off on third downs, passing downs, and bring in Lance Dunbar. So I think, you know, it could be a good 1-2 punch. Zeke's going to get some of that, but I think Dunbar could be serviceable in PPR. I can't see why he wouldn't do as well as a guy like Theo Riddick and things like that if he stays healthy. Right. So I'm surprised too, because Nick came in the draft and he didn't draft him last night. So wonder what happened there. I'll probably find out about it later.
Might be an interesting DFS play week 1 too, right? He's probably worth $0. So
for sure, you know, that's a good call, and that's the thing you need to have. Like if you're playing in a big tournament, you need a couple of these guys that are going to be probably low owned guys that aren't being spoken about. And again, if he's got a rookie quarterback in there, often the tight end is a rookie quarterback's best friend, but a running back who can dump the ball off to the backfield is just as good, maybe better. So yeah. He could put up some good yards, and you know, he could come down with 9-10 grabs in the first game. Be some good points. Most of the sites are PPR.
The last season too, I think they were playing quite a bit out of the slot too, which is an interesting look, especially for the rookie tight end, right? Those quick little hitches and slants and those types of things get him out into space, and so that's a nice little release valve for him too. Anyways, all right, so Lance Dunbar, let's move on to the second one. Pete Carroll says that he's going to be cautious with running back Thomas Rawls. So Pete Carroll reiterated that Thomas Rawls is the starter when healthy, but he was somewhat cautious when discussing his week 1 role. So he says, we're just making progress with him. We don't want to rush him. This is his second preseason game in a sense. So as far as relative to the other guys, so just being a little bit cautious. We know we got C-Mike was the star of the summer for the Seahawks, and both he and Rawls will be part of the rushing attack on Sunday. Lester, buy or sell, Rawls is a must start this week, all season long, and in DFS. That's a three-parter.
Oof. Well, I'm gonna buy and sell then, I guess, because I think you must start him in your season long league. If you drafted him, you probably drafted him as your RB1 or RB2. So I think you gotta play him. But in DFS, I get a little cautious here because, what could happen quite easily in this game is the Seahawks could jump out to a 24-3 lead at halftime. And there's no sense probably. They will run the ball, but if Rawls is coming in not maybe 100% and also just coming off an injury, then there's no sense really to run him too hard in the second half. They'll probably give Christine Michael some more carries, and maybe even a couple other backs will get the odd series. So that worries me in DFS because he could have a decent first half and could be cruising along and then play very limited snaps in that second half, especially the way the, you know, the Vegas odds are looking at this game and the way it could easily unfold at home in Seattle, first game of the year. You know, the Dolphins, they haven't really been lighting it up, I guess you could say, in the preseason. And also, you know, it's going to be a tough place. So, yeah, I'm going to sell that you should start him in DFS. I will buy that. You better play him in a season long. He might do you good enough to win your league still by getting, you know, 20 points in the first half.
All right. You're a little modulated there, Blister. I don't know if you need to unplug and replug, but you sound like Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto right there. That's my poor sticks rendition. Are you back? Are you here? Do we got you? Don't hear you. Might have to switch your mic again in the Hangout. So I'll just keep reading the next one while you're listening, getting that set up.
Looks like I was muted. Yeah, I hope that's better.
Yeah, way better.
Plugged it back in.
Way better. Next one coming up here. This is wide receiver Jordy Nelson may struggle to play a full game. So this is according to ESPN. Last year, the Packers averaged 66 offensive plays per game. In Jordy Nelson's last healthy season, he played 1,093 snaps for 92% of the Packers' total offensive plays. However, he has not played a down in a game since he tore his ACL on August 23rd of last year. So in basically a calendar year, his return was further delayed by an issue with his knee before training camp. So Nelson suggested earlier in the summer that the opener against Jacksonville will be especially taxing on his conditioning, given the expected heat in Florida in early September. Lester, buy or sell? Jordy Nelson will finish as a wide receiver one this year.
Well, I'm going to sell that. You know, I think that Jordy is getting a little bit up there in age, and given that he had the whole year off last year, as you get older, as we both probably know, Bex, it's a little harder to stay in shape and a little easier to get out of shape. He's not as old as us, obviously, but I just think it could take him a few games or four, maybe even to get into the groove of things, provided there's no more hiccups in his rehab and his health. And so say he stays healthy, it could take him a while to get back into the top game shape, I guess you could say. And realistically, you know, that's if it takes three or four games, you're almost looking at a quarter of a season. So if you're not at your playing 100% for a quarter of the season, then it's going to be hard to be a wide receiver one with the talent that's out there right now. So I think it could be more realistic that he finishes in the 18 to 20 range for wide receivers, and that would put him in the middle of the wide receiver two category, which it's about what could be disappointing. For. Yeah, if you're paying 40-some bucks, you might have wanted more from him.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen guys, T.Y. Hilton and guys like that, that are going for the low 20s, and sometimes Jordy goes for quite a bit more. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to do it this year.
All right. Speaking about doing it, we're looking at week one anyways. Coach Gruden says that, quote-unquote, he has intent for running back Matt Jones to be ready for week one. So it appears that Matt Jones is on track to play for the Skins against the Steelers on the Monday nighter, but things are still a little bit fluid. The Skins starting running back participated in pads practice on Monday, but wore the yellow jersey, so no one's allowed to give him a pop. Gruden says that the intent is to have Jones ready for the Steelers, and he's going to see how it fares while they lead up during heavier practices during this week. Now, we do have Rob Kelly as a potential backup for Jones if he can't go week one. So, Blister, question is this, buy or sell? Kelly or even Chris Thompson will outproduce Jones this year?
No, I'm going to buy that because
Say that. My dynasty team actually has had Chris Thompson. So
okay. Well, I haven't been a huge fan of Jones, and he had fumbling issues last year. They're going to pass the ball quite a bit in this offense. And so I just think that if he puts the ball on the ground early on, he's going to really – take a back seat. So he's already banged up still. I just, you know, my gut feeling here is that he's not going to produce well. And if this Kelly comes along, I don't know a lot about him, but I mean, he's there. He's made some good waves in camp. I would say more positives than Jones has had. And Thompson had a great year catching the ball last year out of the backfield. So again, he's another PPR running back, Lance Dunbar, Theo Riddick, Charles Sims, Danny Woodhead type of running back that, you know, can produce probably as a flex player given any given week in your PPR league. So I think that if Kelly comes on to where he could outproduce Jones yet, and Thompson probably could quite easily, because I just think that, like I said, fumbling issues and a lack of, I guess, track record here doesn't have me believing in Matt Jones.
All right. Well, that made me a little bit sad for my dynasty team. And I drafted Matt Jones in a couple MFLs too, but sorry. Speaking of dynasty teams, been trying to poke at the dynasty owner who owns this guy, not for this guy, by the way. Actually, no, it's not even him anymore because Slim's got him. So let's just move on. Oh, yeah. Anyways, Dolphins wide receiver Devontae Parker had injuries to both hamstrings. This is according to the Palm Beach Post. So the Dolphins head coach Adam Gase said that wide receiver Parker had an injury to both hamstrings, and he did not dispute the notion that Parker may not play this week. And Gase has not decided who Miami's third receiver will be. So, we know that Jarvis Landry is out there. You know, they just signed, Justin Hunter. So that could be interesting. Anyways, Blister, buy or sell, despite these claims of both injuries being, or both hamstrings being injured, sorry, buy or sell that Parker will still put up a minimum of wide receiver three numbers this year.
I'm going to sell it. I think he's got off to the wrong foot, on the wrong foot with Adam Gase, and Adam Gase has been pretty tough on him. And, you know, he hasn't, he didn't bring Devontae Parker in. That wasn't part of his regime. So right. You need to, you know, coaches bring in guys that they believe in, and he wasn't part of this. And, you know, we've all heard all the talent he's got, but if you're not able to stay on the field and tough it out and get through that, then it's pretty hard to show your talent if you're not getting too many snaps or not even on the field, period. So I don't think so. I think he started off in the wrong spot. Kenny Stills had a pretty good camp. You know, Jarvis Landry's there. I think that they, I think Jordan Cameron hopefully will have a better season than he has. So I think it's going to be hard on Devontae Parker to put up wide receiver three numbers. Sad.
It is sad because there was so much buzz about him. Remember, like, it was just everyone wanted a piece of him in like February or whatever it was. He was all the rage. Yeah. He was the Tyler Lockett of the winter.
That's right. He was, yeah.
I mean, it's craziness. So, hey, Blister, I just tried clicking the link for the ESL or ECL. I couldn't get on it because I'm not a member of the league, so we'll have to go off of your notes.
Well, so I was going to cut and paste them all, but it took up too much room and it didn't cut and paste very pretty either.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't do a great job of that. I've had to work at it to get them into some of the articles before. Anyways, that's all right.
Okay.
So that's the end of the buy or sell. We're going to walk our way into recapping the Executive Champions League Fantasy Football Auction League. Blister, this is something brand new that you kind of set up with some of the guys we run in a keeper league. Why don't you tell us a little bit about league first?
Well, yeah, I guess I kind of stole ECL because that was a league that you and I both play in. Got invited a while ago by Mr. Auction Vince Gabriel to join this league.
By the way, I just made a big trade in that league. Let's let that be known, right? Did you like
another
that Latin Murray trade? No, did you like that Latin Murray trade on?
Yeah,
on the
that weekend? Was pretty good. Yeah, that was really good. I haven't been able to do anything. Looked like I had Frank Gordon Forsett that as my starting running backs, and I was down to Gore, but I'm back to Forsett again. So what a league! But you know, it's a great league. I guess we should throw out there 2 years running, second in the first year, first in the second year. That's not bad.
That's right. Yeah, that's not bad. Now I broke away, so now it's going to be the two of us.
Yeah, I know. The first year team looked crap, and now it looks a lot better. Now they're going to think that you.
I'm not minding my team all of a sudden here.
Yeah, all of a sudden I like your team a lot better, and that's sad because now they're going to think you're the brains behind this operation, and that's going to hurt, man. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. No, that's okay. But anyway, so then we were BSing. We have a group, line chat group, and we were talking about prices and stuff. And then I think, I might have threw it there. We should have an auction. And just like that, I'm in. So, you know, most of our league, I think 7 or 8 of the guys from our league joined right away. And then I filled the rest with some of our, loyal followers for the pod and on Twitter and stuff like that. So we had the draft last night. It was a lot of fun. Some crazy prices. Some guys were first time auctioners, so it was pretty cool. There's some guys that were doing a first time auction, and then there was Joe who had 4 drafts yesterday, 2 live auctions, then a snake, and our online auction was his 4th of the day. So that's dedication.
So hold on, he was present for 2, like live, like in front of an auctioneer.
Started at like a 9 in the morning, 11:30 in the morning. Yeah, he was drafting twice, and then I can't remember what he said, 4 and then 9 or something like that. That was a full day of drafting.
Aren't you the degenerate for auctions? That is insane. That's like 10 hours of auctioning.
That was pretty good. That was a full day. That was a full Labor Day. Good thing there's not any more holidays coming up. He'd be born out. But yeah, he put in a full shift there. That's impressive. So I wonder how the other teams look. But yeah, so it was a lot of fun. We had a draft. I can go through some prices because there was some pretty alarming prices.
Okay, so I was going to say, let's talk about your team first and maybe some of your strategies going in and how you had to shimmy it up a little bit, because that's the good talk. When you guys did the pod the other night, mm-hmm. and I got to listen to it, that's the stuff that I really took from it was thought processes during the draft.
Yeah, well, I wanted to get some strong receivers again, and I kind of figured that I'd be looking – You know, basically between Doug Martin, Eddie Lacy, and CJ Anderson, I've been looking at those guys as my RB1s pretty well because I kind of like their value. I like their upside, and I like that typically you can get them from $25 to $35, we'll say. So kind of that's what I had budgeted. So I, of course, I think half the guys that listened to the pod knew that too and made me pay through the nose. But I started off because Nick, he knew the old auction strategy. Nominate a kicker for a buck, and if you get him, great. And if you don't, somebody else pays too much. So I did. I paid two for Gostkowski. Was happy because I got my kicker and my boy. Yeah. And then and then I guess significant players after that. Dez Bryant looked like he was going to go for about $35. And I know it's scary right now with a rookie quarterback and Romo hurt. And, you know, what are you going to get out of Dez, who also hasn't been healthy a lot? And he's not like a number one favorite of mine, but I had to get in on the bidding. It was too cheap and ended up getting him for $39. Now, mind you, this was after some of the other big receivers had already went, some of them for over $70. So
I thought that was just a joke when I was reading that on the app.
No, I'll go through some teams real quick and highlight some other things. But so I got Dez as my RB or my wide receiver one at 39, and I was ready to go up to 51. So then, of course, Sammy Watkins became my wide receiver two, 38. Yeah. Can't believe I paid 38 for Sammy Watkins. That was ridiculous. I guess what I saved on Dez, I overspent on Sammy. And then I grabbed Randall Cobb as my wide receiver three for 25, and that was later on in the draft. That's not a bad 1-2-3. Cobb was – there's a lot of money gone by this point. My RB1, CJ Anderson, 37. Again, Martin went up to $40, so there's still CJ, I think, and Lacy left. I figured I could get one of them for cheaper. Well, not much. I paid 37, and I can't remember what Eddie Lacy went for. It was up there in the high 30s as well. Maybe 40, I'll double check. And then DeMarco Murray was my RB2 at $20. I was quite happy at my tight ends because I got Travis Kelce for only $5. And later on, I put in a bid on, I was going to spend a dollar or two on another tight end figure, and I would be like a Zach Miller or something. But I got Delanie Walker for $4. So there could be weeks where I play them both, you know?
Yeah, probably a few.
Tom Brady I got for $5. So later on, when everyone was getting broke, I nominated Eli Manning for $2, and nobody could really... Nobody really could afford to go above him at that point, but at the same time, there was a lot of other quarterbacks left, like quite a few quarterbacks left. So, I wanted Eli because I knew he had a good strength of schedule and, you know, he can replace Tom for the first 4 weeks. So I got Eli to start. Got the Cardinals defense for $2, same thing. I think Nick nominated for $1. I went over at $2 and that was that. And then Sterling Shepard for $5. Forsett, Justin Forsett for $6, Charles Sims for $4, Blount for $2, Rashard Matthews for $2, Mohamed Sanu for $1, and Malcolm Mitchell for $1. When all those guys basically on my bench, I mean, other than Forsett, I couldn't afford a whole lot of other guys, you know, and, when time came up, there was a lot of guys going for $1 that I couldn't afford to bid $2 on. So it was too bad because I couldn't pick anybody off. So I took what I got. But you know what? In all reality, my bench will change. Most of these guys will change. Only one problem I had, again, and I was scared to reset the draft, Bex, because you know the trouble we had. I could swear I had it set up as a waiver wire, like $1,000 fab budget. And when I went and checked the settings, it was set up just as a waiver wire, like, you know, ranking your ranked according to how you're ranked or whatever that week or the first time.
I tried. Mine was resetting the draft because of the order, but.
Yeah, I tried and then I couldn't get through. And of course I was on a chat line and, with ESPN today and there was just nobody was answering it. There was like 33 callers ahead of me. And so I sent them an email. We'll get right back to you. And they never got back to me. So kind of disappointing service, but it shouldn't be hard for them to go in and
reset it. I didn't even tweet me back either after all that. I was in a big panic and I sent out the tweet. Oh, yeah. Not even a little heart or nothing.
If you're on like MFL, if you're on Dataforce FF, those people are on it now. Like they get back to you ASAP. There's no fooling around. But ESPN, not so good. At draft, pretty happy with the starting lineup. If I go over Team Kohler, Ethan's first draft, he got a nice group of receivers. He got Julio at $70 and then AJ Green at $55. Yeah. Whew. And then Keenan Allen at $45. So with his top three receivers, he spent $170. So then I think he might have collected a couple pictures, wrote a poem or two. He did keep the draft. I was laughing all night long. It was hilarious. So I said if there's another episode of the league, he should go in and be the auction expert because it'd be pretty good. So yeah. As you can imagine, three receivers for 170. He wrote Nick Toon for a dollar and he got him.
No kidding.
I don't know. Yeah. Hard to believe. But yeah, so it's, I guess you could say thin after that.
That's an RB0 strategy for sure.
Yeah, he's got Kenneth Dixon, $4, Isaiah Crowell for 11, and Sean Drone, everybody else after that's a buck. Sean Drone, Vereen, Chris Thompson, Gillis Lee, all the $1.
Ugly.
Then I look over real quick, Red Zone, his big buy was Ezekiel Elliott, $63, and DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins for 51. So we got a couple nice buys. Alan Hearns was only $5. I was surprised because early on, Spencer Ware was nominated. In most of our drafts, Spencer Ware was going fairly cheap. But because, you know, now he's probably going to start week one, he went for $15. But probably one of the best deals of the night, too. You got Cam Newton for only $15. So that's pretty sweet. Yeah. Willie Snead was $7. Go down to team Rusty Jordan here. He paid $55 for Adrian Peterson. Jordy Nelson, 39. Dante Moncrief was 20. That's not too bad, I don't think. Jeremy Macklin was only 17. Really getting to that point.
Dante Moncrief, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That AAV has just gone up and up and up.
Yeah. Foster was 15. Amir Abdullah, 10. And that's, you know, a bunch of dollar. And then, JFK paid 53 for Allen Robinson and 55 for Lev Bell. And he got D'Angelo for $10 as well.
Okay.
So that's where his big spenders were. Latavius was 22. He got Andrew Luck for only 11. So that's not too bad. D-Jax was 10 and Jordan Matthews was 8. So he's Gio Bernard was 9. Kind of outbid me. It was some of those guys that I was interested in, but I couldn't afford them. Team Nick Pagliari, Antonio Brown, $73.
Woo!
Brandon Marshall, $43. Olsen, 12. Forte, 12. Drew Brees for only $4. That's a steal and a half. Nice, yeah. Rashad Jennings, 6. He always goes for about that. I was hoping to get him on my team, but no. Larry Fitz for 11. Woodhead for 10. Crabtree for 12. That was at the point in the draft where I could only really afford one more decent player. I really wanted Crabtree, but I didn't have $12. I could only go as high as 11, so I couldn't get him. That would have been my flex, but Nick scooped me. Then after that, it was all dollar guys. Vinny, Todd Gurley, 67. Devontae Freeman, 45. Demaryius Thomas was 33. I don't know why I quit bidding on him, because I kind of wanted him. Aaron Rodgers was 15. He played 21 for Decker. And then after that, it was all buck or two. Yeah. $3 for Chris Ivory. So, Megabucks, Joe, this is the guy that had, this was his fourth draft of the day. David Johnson, 66. Lamar Miller, 62.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Melvin RB Gordon, heavy.
Yeah. Melvin Gordon for 15. Dougie Baldwin is one of his top receivers.
Dougie Truss.
Yes, $13. And then it was all a buck or two after that.
That's 13 for Doug Baldwin, though, is a nice price.
That's not bad at all.
He's probably going to go to 70.
Yeah. Then you got a lot of guys that I would like, but he nominated him and I couldn't get him. Mike from off of Twitter, got Kevin White for $8. I should have went on that. Golden Tate for 20. Cooks for 22. Brandon Cooks, 22 only.
Nice.
That's pretty cheap.
When guys are spending $60 and $70 on guys, there has to be value somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that's where the value started being like, the T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Cooks, Thomas Rawls for 30, Hyde for 11, Jones for 10, Benjamin for 13, Marvin Jones for 17. You probably got the most double-digit guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them right there. His quarterback, I got Marcus Wheaton later for 6. That's decent. Smitty, Russell Wilson was 10, Landry 36, Josh Gordon 22. That's as high as I've seen Josh Gordon go for a while. T.Y. Hilton was 22. 30.
No kidding.
Yeah, Jamal Charles, 24. That's a pretty good buy if he comes back and starts playing week two or whenever he starts. I mean, that's pretty cheap for the value you're going to get out of him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He also had 7 double-digit guys. Tyler Lockett was 14. That's about that. Mike Sturgeon, Odell Beckham, 61, Eddie Lacy, 37, Alshon, 34, Dougie Martin, 40. Got Tyrod Taylor for only $2. So Eddie Lacy was 37. That's the same as I paid for CJ, I think.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of buck or two guys after that. And Team Wilson, I think it's Josh's cousin, if I remember correctly, Dylan. Jordan Reed, 23, Gronk. So he went tight end heavy. Gronk and Reed, 23 for Reed, 38 for Gronk. Amari Cooper, 22, Mike Evans, 40, LeSean McCoy, 40, John Brown, 12. And then $2 for Big Ben, another two for Kirk Cousins, and then buck or twos all the way down. So interesting, eh? Like there's some big dollars on some, which then created obviously some great value later on in the, especially in the receiver category. So be an interesting draft. I really hope I can get the fab budget switched over so that it's fab and not waiver wire, because that'll make it fun too. I'd like to see what Ethan pays on when somebody comes up on the waiver. So it'll be good fun.
So what did you learn from just drafting with guys that you just, I mean, you've never drafted auction with and this late in the season too? Mm-hmm. Like what did you learn from last night's draft?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you definitely see, I was looking through all my teams that I've drafted because I always keep a spreadsheet and, how the values of different players have kind of come up and some have gone down. And obviously, you know, you look at, no matter how much you follow football, and we pretty much do it all year round, especially because of the ECL league, we, you know, we start drafting again March 1st all the time. And you know, so you're always kind of on top of it. And you always think, oh, I know what's going on. But you look at your drafts from April and May and stuff that you might have went in. And I told myself last year I'm not going in any more April drafts because too many guys got hurt before the season started. And I only lost a few guys this year, mostly in the running backs, you know, like Ronnie Hillman. He might pop up again. And Stevie Johnson at wide receiver I had a few shares of. But I guess in this one, I don't know, it was interesting because guys that, you know, we had some guys, first-time auctioners, some guys listen to the pod, kind of know, I guess, some of our strategy that we've kind of talked about. Other guys are just experienced at auctioners. And, you know, one thing I could see is they really, basically, you're looking at all the attitude here pretty much was stars and scrubs, right? Yeah. They spent big to get the studs, and that left, you know, everybody almost in the same boat. Like, when I was even bidding, like, I'm okay with my team, but I would, you know, Dez Bryant, I'm not a huge fan, but I think that at that price, you got to like it. Sammy, I'm not a huge fan, and at that price, I don't like it. And then Randall Cobb, not a huge fan because he let me down last year. I'm hoping he bounces back, but at 25, that's not bad. But I look at other receivers that I probably would have been happier to have, you know, if I would have got Demaryius Thomas at 33, save the $5 on Sammy and put that into Randall Cobb's value at 25, and that would have bumped him up to 30, and I could have got, you know, maybe a guy like Jarvis Landry. I think he went a little bit higher, or T.Y. Hilton perhaps, or somebody like somebody like that that I think would have had a good year. Brandon Cooks, I would have been happy to have at $22. You
well,
know,
who wouldn't for $22? Goodness,
that's phenomenal. You know, so yeah, I don't know. It was quite interesting. I was watching the money fly off the board, and I was like, "Holy man, this is unbelievable!" And and then I thought, "This is going to be great. I'm going to be able to buy up everything I want," but that didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it still becomes relative, but at least if you're doing the stars and scrubs, and if everybody's doing it and spends the big money on the stars, the scrubs don't have to be scrubs then, though, right? Because you still have money kicking. No one has money kicking around. So it's like, you know, $5 is a pretty high bid all of a sudden.
Yeah. You know, I keep looking back at my teams, and I know I talked about them before, but that one draft we did, middle of August, it was probably the week before, we went to our other auction in Bemidji, the one we did on ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
I remember it. That was by far my best team. That was crazy, the depth I had at receiver and stuff on that one. Demaryius, Jarvis, Hearns, Jordan Matthews, Crabtree, Snead, and Gordon. And I know my running backs are similar. Doug Martin, CJ, Foster, Sims, Booker, Coleman, Palmer at quarterback. And I had Kelsey and Ertz at tight end. I mean, I think that's my best team. Probably would end up being the worst one, but right. You know, that's the funny thing is some guys are not happy with their team, but it changes so much between now and then. And I was saying like with Ethan, like you got three stud receivers. You can easily find guys off the, I think anyways, for running back off the waiver wire that, you know, like your Thomas Rawls from last year and guys like that, that could end up being from when they start starting, an RB1. Like, that happens all the time. It's not easy to do that with your receivers. So he's got three beasts at receiver. I'd love to have them. And I'd feel much more comfortable trying to fill in the running back holes. Tight end is easy to stream. Quarterback, all the rest of that. When you got stud receivers, I think I'd be interested to see how it does in the end, because I really think he could put that together as long as the three big studs stay healthy as well.
Well, and that ESPN one you're talking about, I like my team in there too. I just pulled out my spreadsheet. Phillip Rivers and Andy Dalton, a quarterback. I have Lamar Miller, Lat Murray, Gio Bernard, Duke Johnson, Theo Riddick as my running backs. My receivers are Julio and Amari Cooper, Marvin Jones, Funchess. I have Sammy Coates, Terrence Williams, blah, blah, blah. Antonio Gates and Dwayne Allen as my tight ends. Panthers D and Catanzaro or Catanzaro or whatever. Coach Pow Pow. The Arizona kicker. So I like that too with Lamar Miller and Lat Murray and Gio, and then Julio and Amari and Marvin Jones, and you throw Funchess in there, and Phillip Rivers could be huge. And if not, Andy Dalton does okay, especially at home.
I was going to say, was that a teacher draft where we're all too cheap to spend on players? And I was in a big draft last night with lawyers and guys that had, they're not scared.
Yeah, they were throwing it around.
Maybe that was a difference. Maybe that's, know your clientele, not what they, you know, not their fantasy football history, just what they do.
That's right. Well, hey, and I just wanted to give a a shout out tonight too to the boys from Gillen's that had me in auctioneering last week. It was a lot of fun. I've never auctioneered before, and it was a different crew. There was a couple of guys that we see in our big home league, and then some guys that are brand new that have subscribed to the website, and one guy drafting for somebody else. And it was interesting because guys would come up and in the room would look up and look at me like, who is that guy? And I'd be number 18 on your wide receiver list as I'm auctioneering. So that would get an idea of what's going on. They were floored like that. How do you know like the marking on every guy? And well, I said, it's what we do all year long. Like it's absolutely it. But you know what I found fascinating is that they don't have their auctioneer, keep track of the teams and or the spending. Oh. They just allow the guys to self-police that, which is one of the reasons why I put the guy's picture on the last podcast, Romo's picture on there. Did you see the graphic on there? It's a beautiful picture of him. It's from the side of a bus, that picture. You got to check it. You got to go to the website and see it, defensefootballauction.com. But anyways, it's on there. It's a beautiful picture of Romanuk. But he just all this went, I overspent. And I'm like, who just says that? Like, who says that they overspent? Like,
no kidding. Oh, why Antonio, Odell, and Julio. Yeah. I still got so much money. I'll get Ezekiel and Gurley. Man, I can't believe how much money I got. It's going to be just under.
But it was a lot of fun. They do it in the boardroom. They have the big screen on behind where they had the Jays game on, which was good. It was a lot of fun. They have the gavel and the little piece of wood that says your bottom and you hit it every time. It was a good time. The boys had a lot of fun. And, so just a shout out to Gillen's and, thanks for letting me come on to there. I don't know. So, Blister, that about, I guess, wraps up, preseason, right? Thursday night, she all begins.
Yeah. Thursday night's a real deal, and I started up another little league because I got a problem maybe. And I threw it out there. You know, at first I threw it out to some of the guys, our guys that play in our auction league around here. Basically on DraftKings, like a lot of guys play and some guys don't, but I threw it out there and it was going to be a 10-person league. I thought they'll just try for 10 at the start, you know, $5, you go in and you just draft your lineup on DraftKings, and then they, you know, you put your money in there, they pay out the winner and yada, 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 right? So, you know, I threw it out there and a few of our guys signed up right away. Hats off to Goosh and Stu. And then, I thought, it's kind of not filling up too quick. So I threw it out there to the guys from the ECL and some of the guys from the league last night and boom, boom, boom. Got a few more hits right away. So I think we're going to probably, you know, so I could throw it out to a few more people, but if anybody listens and wants to play in it, just DM me and I'll throw them an invite, the DraftKings. I guess I'd need you to DM me or email. I think then that's the way I can invite you. But I mean, it's $5. It's nothing. If you're playing on there already, great. If you're not playing on there, when you sign up, they give you $20 just for signing up. So if you only played in this one little league, you know, if you put in 20, they give you 20.
You'll play for 2 months. Eight times. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and so it's kind of fun because it's kind of fun to play with guys you kind of know. Like, you do know some, but you're involved in other leagues with them, so it's not a big commitment. And it's just, you know, if we only got six guys that want to do it regularly, I can change the settings probably and pay out the top one. But, you know, and speaking of that, we were talking before we went on the air, and Slim's obviously not here tonight, and a lot of pods, you know, the big time and the busy time for them is especially July and August, getting ready for the regular season. And regular season is upon us now this week, two sleeps away from it. So we were talking, do we need to keep doing this or what should we do? But I think the consensus is, or at least I think, you know, Bex and Slim, when he's available, can, and there might be some nights where it's you and Slim, and there might be some nights where it's Slim and I, or it could be all three of us, or it could be maybe we get a guest on here or there as well. But, you know, I think we're going to keep trying to do it weekly, and if we miss one, we'll make sure we get on week two, but kind of update how things are going. And, you know, there's a lot of sites because, like I said, we do a lot of draft prep. I don't know about the people who listen, what they think, but we don't mind getting on, and we do have a lot of people that are pretty loyal listeners and, you know, like to hear what the hell's happening in the world and in our lives, maybe. And so I don't mind getting on and talking about that. And I think it's kind of fun, and talking about football is what we do. We're doing it anyways. It's just a matter of putting it on a podcast, right? So, you know, if there's anything out there, though, I mean, I do play daily, and I'm trying to hook a few more of you guys, either Bex and Slim and other guys, into playing daily. So if it's a question about your daily lineup, or if it's about who you should be buying on, how much you should spend on your fab budget on a waiver wire, I mean, to me, doing a fab budget for your waiver wire is like being in an auction, right? You're putting in a blind bid, and we can answer those questions and talk about lineups and stuff like that, because we'll be setting, well, many, many lineups every week. So it's not like we're going away and forgetting about football. It's just going to get busier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I counted. I think I'm only setting 9 lineups, and I have 4 MFLs, but so it's only 9. It's not too bad. That's peanuts for you.
No, I don't even know if I want to know.
Carry the one. Exponent.
Think about, you know what, I probably have about only a dozen, and then like you, not MFLs, but I did the draft and goes on scout. Yeah. So I don't have to worry about those. And if I keep it there, which I should.
You still have 3 more. Oh, only 2 more you have to set.
I kind of keep an eye on Herbies and just tell them what to do. But so I think a dozen, and then the daily stuff, which I like to dabble in. I still think that, you know, I'd love to, everyone will tell you, if you're playing the daily stuff, you play the 50-50s, play the bigger 50-50s, not multi-entry, but single entry 50-50s, you know, $3, $5, $10 maybe, and then, you know, build up your bankroll doing that, and then, you know, take a little percentage and play in the big tournaments. But it's so hard not to just play in the tournaments, because who doesn't want to throw $5 into a tournament and win $1 million? Like, come on now. That's just who doesn't go out and buy a lottery ticket, a Powerball or a Lotto Max or something in Canada and think that what the hell? If I don't have a ticket, I can't win. But at least when you're playing fantasy football and doing it, you feel like, because you're doing so much of it, you have a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more chance of getting it right. But it's pretty darn tough. If you go into it thinking that you're going to win big bucks in those tournaments, it's probably not going to happen. So nickel and dime your way up till you can get a bankroll where you don't mind putting some money into those other ones and into the tournaments. But
good advice.
That's fun. It's true. It's what all the experts will tell you. You know, the tournaments, you're not going to – it's so hard to win them, because if you go in some tournament and some guy can put 500 lineups in, they do, and they'll have every frigging combination you could think of, and they might just clog up, you know, first to 500th, and there's some other guy has another 500th, so it's hard to get in there, but you can't win if you don't have one in there, so
that's
right. I keep trying. Yeah, it's fun to try.
Well, that's why you buy the lottery ticket, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, yeah.
All right. So we're gonna keep things rolling through the off season here. Maybe not on a regular basis, but a semi-regular basis, to keep you up to date as what's going on with us, and maybe give you some help. But don't be afraid all season long to hit us up at Fantasy Auction, or at Mr. Blister, at Uncle Buckets, at Slim for MVP. You can email us. It's footballauctioneer@gmail.com. and we can help you with lineup questions or anything else that you may add. I want to thank everybody that supported the website during the off season here, the many subscribers that jumped on and took a look at all the information we had that was auction specific. So thanks so much for you guys for helping us make this all happen. If you want to help support the podcast, feel free to head on to wherever you're listening to the podcast right now and give us a rank and a review. That would be awesome. Helps us move up the ranks, and it also helps to spread more auction love around the fantasy league. It's a love in. It's a love in blister.
McLovin.
Every expert out there will tell you that once you go auction, you never go back, and yet nobody talks about auction. And that makes no sense. It makes no sense to me. So, anyways, it's been a fun off season, blister. I thought we really cranked out a lot of good stuff as far as the podcast goes and the website goes, and bigger and better things for next year. Apparently, crossing my fingers, I talked to the app guy last night. And I'm going to see a tester this week. The actual prototype.
Well, wouldn't that be something? It could be
something. So be on the lookout for that come next year too. Oh, baby. Once that gets rolling.
Nice to have a little app, little pocket, something in your back pocket for when you go to your auction. And I think I do that right now with pen and pencil. Like every time I buy a guy, I recalculate everything I'm going to do and recrunch my numbers and then sometimes still end up with guys I don't want. But that's the way it goes.
So it'd be a little app that does that, but then also too that you can put on your phone and, you know, link it to the, if you're a member of the site, a link to our content that way and link to the podcast and do all that stuff. So we're in the works for all of that stuff. So thanks everybody for support all off season. Good luck to everybody week one. And, I guess Blister will see everybody the next time we're up and next week or in the next couple weeks or so. And, I don't know. I got nothing else to add. Anything else to add, Blister?
No, I just want to reiterate what you said. Thanks to everybody for supporting us over the preseason, and good luck to everybody as they get ready. I mean, the real season starts now, so all your homework was for, and, you know, don't just stop there. You're going to have to play that waiver wire to be successful.
That's right.
Follow us. We'll still answer questions. We'll still get your we'll tweet stuff out. We'll answer it in Gmail, and we'll answer it on the podcast, and yeah, thanks a lot, and look forward to keeping her going.
The auction is only one third of your season. You have to beat the crap out of your league on the waiver wire, and you have to set the lineup properly.
That is right.
It's so weird. You spend months and months and months of prep to draft your team, and then a lot of guys think they can just coast because they have this sweet looking team on paper. That's only part of the work. It's like, it's like offense. You still need to have the defense and the special teams win that championship.
Yeah, you know, I've always, for the last few years, I've always charted every team I've drafted, but I should be charting every team I finished the year with, you know, and compared how many guys are the same and how many are different. Sometimes you get injuries, and sometimes guys don't produce, and sometimes better things come up in the waiver wire. And in all honesty, I'm pretty sure that if I have 8 bench spots, those 8 spots will change multiple times over the course of the season. So you have to stay on top of that.
Yeah, you have to be willing to make those moves and drop that guy you spent $5 on.
That's right.
You gotta be gutty. Anyways. All right, Blister. So that wraps it up the preseason, and good luck to everybody on week one. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and leave a comment for us. And Blister, I don't know. I'm spending all week in the rink, so I don't know when I'm going to see you. Probably somewhere on the chat app on the phone, guaranteed. Especially shout out to ESPN for the message.
Oh, no. Yahoo.
Oh, yeah. No, not shout out to ESPN. We don't like the customer service.
They're bad. No.
But the Yahoo Messenger. That was a nice find anyways.
I was talking smack to the Hill Boys just because it was so fun. And who knows?
It'll probably take them
take them 2 years to figure out what that is. But it was fun because I was throwing them insults. It was great.
So shout out to the Yahoo, the Messenger on there. So it keeps the trash talk alive and it adds the gifts, which, if you follow me on Twitter, you know, I love it. So shout out to them on that. Anyways, Blister, I don't know if you're at the rink this week, I'll see you there. And for everyone else, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to you.